Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
That's his thing. They don't get back. They would look, now look at this steal. Here's the steal. Three on one. Alley-oop. Oh, my goodness. Marcus Mendez.
And you certainly are in love with him here in Louisville. Marcus in the open floor. Hops. Incredible.
Get up, get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Mapin. About midway to the midday with Marcus Mapin. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Mapin. So sit back and relax and watch Mapin.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Mapin on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Mapin and Steve Rummage.
Do something.
Welcome back
to the Middays with Marcus Mapin Court.
Wow, my goodness.
Joining us today, this sounds so echoey. It sounds terrible. What's going on?
Nick has us up. Yeah, that's better. It got better. Whatever you just did got better.
Let's get past the. This sounds terrible.
We don't even have chairs with arms on them, okay?
You want to hear something embarrassing? We have... This sounds terrible. Is his mic too loud or something? Okay.
Because mine is really, really loud.
Okay.
So, it's not
it. Yeah, I feel like I can hear myself through your microphone or something like that. Okay.
No, that's fair.
Sounds better. We have Judge Derwin Webb.
That's right.
Joining us.
That's right.
Do y'all want to know how embarrassing it is to have the judge come in and sit down in the 93.9 studios and the chair arm falls off?
just what happened? And then
that can't work.
I know.
Judge, thank you for joining us today.
That is always a pleasure to be here today.
Thank you for having me.
There we go. Okay. It wasn't him. It wasn't him. He didn't have him on. Yeah.
Okay, so listen, you are obviously, everybody who follows you on social media, we always envy the energy you put out to the community. What have you been up to as of late? Because like I said, we get sprinkles on the internet of how busy you are and you know, in general. Just kind of walk us through, you know, D Webb, or you could be Judge Derwin Webb, whichever personality you want to be for a little bit. Just kind of catch us up.
Well, I'm on vacation right now. I'm D Webb.
So it's D Webb. Okay. Because I'm like, you're on vacation. You have literally one of the most stressful jobs in the United States of America. and you take a day off, or you take a little time off, and you hang out with us.
Well, let me qualify my statement. I don't think it's necessarily a day off or a vacation, as most people call vacation. I just recently got back from San Diego yesterday from a sexual assault conference, trying to find ways to make my courtroom better, improve my craft, and try and make sure that I have enough information to protect the people that come in from my courtroom.
You are a, I don't want to say regular of the show, you're an open door policy guest. Kind of, when you say improve your daily life, kind of give everybody just like a, you reintroduce yourself a little bit, you know, just to the newer crowd.
Well, obviously, my name's Derwin Webb. I'm a family court judge here in Jefferson County. I've been on the bench since 2017. I love my job. As I tell people all the time, if I was independently wealthy, I would do this thing for free. Mm. It's what I do. I think that I finally found a job or a career that is me. Mm-hmm. I get a chance to help people every day. I tell people, I will go to bed every night knowing that I helped someone, and wake up the next morning know that I have an opportunity to do it all over again. So it's the greatest job I've ever had, and I would not want to do anything else.
And I always ask you this. I say, you know, okay, 2017. So you said it was the right decision. It didn't seem like a aspiration kind of job. It seemed like it's something you might want to do.
Well, let me tell you this. Honestly, I have wanted to be a judge since I was a kid. I remember being in second grade telling someone that I wanted to be a judge, and the whole class laughed at me at that point. But it's always been something in me. Mm. But I will tell you, it's been a struggle getting to that point through passing the bar, through going through practice and working to have someone say that I think you need to apply for it. Once getting into the position where I could actually be appointed, being passed over 4 or 5 times, running and losing, and then finally in 2017, the governor saying that it's your opportunity. So I've got that opportunity. I'm taking advantage of it. I would never take anything for granted, because it's been a struggle being here. But like I said before, being in the position gives me a chance to help a lot of people, and I love that.
When did it become a reality? Was it after you became a judge, or was it like, this thing could actually happen? Like, when you were running, was it after a loss where you just came back, you know, like a end of the season loss where you say, next year I am not losing, you know, it's kind of like one of those situations?
It did not become real until I actually put the robe on and actually stood in front of people. Or I should say, when I actually walked into the courtroom and everybody stood up, that's when it became real for
okay.
me.
Okay. So I got to ask D. Webb, not Judge Derwin, D. Webb, do you have photos of yourself in your home doing your judge thing?
No.
I mean, listen, oh my God, I'd have a painting.
Nikki, yeah. Would you, like, a Scarface level mural would have to be in the living room?
Yeah. Living room, every bathroom. Yeah.
Say bathroom. Okay, so you don't self-indulge.
I don't. I love my job, like I said, but at the same time, I have to have some boundaries. Mm-hmm. When I leave the office, even though some of the stuff comes with me in my head, I have to leave it at the office. Our jobs are so intense, and we have a full-time job. A lot of people don't know exactly what a family court judge does.
Can you elaborate on that a little?
Absolutely. You see things on TV. You see Law and Order. You see a judge come in. You see a jury prosecuting all those different things. In family court, there are no juries. So we are the judge and jury. So any issue that comes in front of us, we have to decide whether it's big or whether it's small. So no matter what, we have to make that decision. Now, of course, I have a staff attorney. I have a great staff that works with me, not for me, but works with me to try and solve problems for people. We listen to social workers. We listen to parents' attorneys, guardian ad litem. We listen to all those different people to make the appropriate decision. So without that information, I can't make an informed decision to affect someone's life. Now, I understand also that the life, the person that I'm speaking to or the decision I make not only affects that person, it can affect a family.
Sure.
It can affect a generation.
Absolutely.
So these are heavy decisions that we have to make. So I try to leave that at work as much as I can, because it's a very hard job. It's always also consuming.
So anxiety level drops at what time do you get out of there, and how long does it take to decompress? Steve and I like to kind of make the joke, you know, you do 2 hours of intense sports radio talk, and not that I'm comparing our 2 hours.
It's basically the same. It's basically the same.
But it does take at least the drive. Like, say, we both live out in the county, so that 30-minute drive is a decompression, you know, like I said, between the high emotions that are on the text line or call line. How long does it take you to... Yes, decompress or get today's events off.
It takes a while, but one of the things I try to do is I try to incorporate schools in my decompression. For example, if I have a break, like for example, during my lunchtime, I may take a book over to a school and read to some kids. Mm-hmm. If I can connect with kids, it seems to take my anxiety level down. If I have a court case that cancels, I'm at a school speaking or doing something like that because it gives me a chance to kind of decompress. Now, after work is over, I'll probably go to the gym. If I haven't had that chance to connect with kids or something like that, I'll go to the gym, work out, I'll walk. I get at least 10,000 steps in a day because if I don't try and do something physical, I would just want to kill myself at some point.
Yeah.
But it's a very consuming job. I have 9 other judges that experience the same things that I do. I don't think the public can appreciate what we do. It's almost like I'm not comparing this to being a president at all.
Right.
But you cannot know how to be a president until you actually become president. You can't understand the pressures of a family court judge making those decisions and the consequences to those decisions, not only for the people that are involved, but for us as well. Yeah. I get death threats. I know my colleagues have had death threats as well. So we make tough decisions, and we have to find ways to have an outlet. So when I leave for vacation sometimes, I leave everything back. I don't worry about anything that's coming in. I try and turn off my phone, try and decompress, and try to do things that take me out of the element of what I have to deal with every day. But it's tough.
When you say work out, do you get some jump shots in ever?
I don't think so. I can't tell you the last time I actually shot a basketball. I can't tell you the last time.
Right. So you just.
But I can probably still go if I had to.
You look in great shape. Okay, so you did a little vacationing, San Diego. You and I before the show were kind of like, okay.
Well, you got a chance. Like I said, I was out there for a sexual assault conference. So during the day, I was doing that all day. During the evening, my colleagues and I would get out and walk a little bit, see the San Diego Sun, got a chance to walk across the beach. Last day, went to the San Diego Zoo and talked about and got a chance to see all the things that people talk about that go along with the San Diego
Zoo. Now, you're saying zoo. Now, you're saying zoo in air quotes almost. San Diego.
It's not a typical zoo. I would say that. Taking nothing away from the Louisville Zoo.
Okay.
Love it. But it's not a comparison to the San Diego Zoo. It's bigger, have more attractions.
It's like the most well-known, Right, I mean, that's fair. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
When he said that, I'm like, San Diego Zoo, should I know that?
Where
did I know that?
Big deal, yeah.
Okay, well, how attached or detached have you been in the sports world?
I've been detached for about a week now. Now, I have former teammates that will send me messages talking about different things, recruiting and Coach Kelsey and things like that, but I have not seen any sports or done anything with sports for at least a week now.
How funny is it that a judge saying, I've been detached a week?
I know.
Yeah. Just a week.
I know.
And it's like, in some other environment, last couple months, like, no, a week.
Yeah, and you've missed everything. Yeah, it's a whole different world now. Yeah.
Okay, so press conference, I'm assuming. You're as caught up in general.
I got a chance to listen to the press conference through social media.
Okay. You don't have any just kind of opening excitement?
Well, I will say this. He won the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
He made non-believers believers.
Okay.
He gave you a chance to have a little hope with what would be coming up for the upcoming season. Mm-hmm. And I think he energized the fan base that – was not as energized before, I will say that.
Okay, what does he, just opinion-wise, like, what do you need to do? What are the next steps, do you think, like, and then the basketball program? What do you think some of the things that need to happen? Like, what would you like to see happen kind of in general?
Well, let me say this. I think that the fan base over the past couple of years has felt detached from the program.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he has done a great job in incorporating the fan base back in.
Okay.
Letting all of us feel like we are part of the program.
With the social media aspect of it?
Social media aspect. respect with the way he's just conducting himself. Mm-hmm. It's not taking anything away from Coach Payne at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all, because he's one of my former teammates. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. The way that Coach Kelsey has engaged the Louisville community and the basketball program is a little bit different from what we had seen in the past.
Is the hunger palpable? Because, you know, like 40 years of the Coach Crum, the Rick Pitino, it's these are coaches who accept the job instead of hunting for the job. You know, like I said, we always describe the fan base here as like, you know, when you go Metro Conference, you're always on the hunt. You know, you're on hunt for respect. You're, you know, but the, our coaches have been in a position where it's just like, you know, you're already knighted. You're already kind of, you know, given the pedestal. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, like is it a relationship between the fan and the hungry coach? Like does it seem like that's more of the direction?
I would say this. When I think about Coach Kelsey and I think about where the program is right now, I think that he is the perfect match as far as energy is concerned. Mm-hmm. And his ability to engage others, because I think that as much as...
And we understand this is far too early prediction. This is just reading, you know, just from, you know, the what minimum information we have. So I don't want to drag you into these long-term, you know, judgments or predictions or anything like that.
Because everything I say comes with a disclaimer anyway. Right. So, okay. So I will say this. I think that where the program is right now and where he was as a coach, we needed him as much as he needed us. So it could possibly be a perfect match based upon where we are in our lives right now.
Okay. I got to ask you, because I'm always, you know, like I said, we might get a text here and there when something's going on in the sports world. But I guess it's a mandatory every 6 months I ask you, NIL world. College NIL world.
Gosh.
Yeah, take
it's
that,
different, man.
Take that.
Yeah.
It's different. It's different.
Hey, listen, we did not know what it would look like a year ago. 2 years ago when it started floating around, this opening of the NIL thing. How has college managed it? How has the university managed it? How has the fan base accepted? Kind of give me your macro perspective on how far NIL has come. How consuming is it? You know, just kind of a general, what's your NIL religion, so to speak?
If I could say anything about NIL, if I had to analogize it to anything, I would call it the Wild Wild West.
Okay.
I think that it's been good in some aspects, but in some aspects it has been not as good. I think that you have a lot of players that are seeking things that they haven't earned, for one. Mm-hmm. Some players that could possibly get more probably should get less. I don't see the hunger in kids like I used to. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, you see someone coming out of high school and knowing that this is their own – going to their league, yep, is the only way they're going to make it out of whatever situation they're in.
Yeah.
Now they're coming out looking for those dollars out the gate. And it's, I'll say something Coach Payne said, it's become transactional. Mm-hmm. And I would rather have someone come to the University of Louisville because they love the university and they want to be a part of the university, rather than someone that's coming here because they're going to get a bigger bag than at Cincinnati or somewhere else.
Let me ask you this. Being a family court judge, I imagine you see a situation, without making this case specific, mm-hmm, I imagine you see situations where you're saying, okay, I compare it to the NIL world, where I'll say, okay, that kid wants to be here, but that parent is making it transactional. Like in a family court where you say, okay, that kid might want to do the right thing, but that parent is enabling, you know, like do you see that in your NIL kind of observation? Is it similar at all to what you see in a family court?
I can't necessarily say it's similar to that, but I understand what you're saying. As far as parent and child relationships,
when NIL is brought to the
You know, if I am a family court judge, for me, I have to look at everything what's in the best interest of the child. Mm-hmm. So a parent may want something, but is that what's going to be in the best interest of that child? you can't look at that parent's interest above the child's interest. Mm. So if I'm comparing the two,
would you be like the coach in this situation, versus like the judge or coach trying to decide, hey, yeah, what's the best situation?
Right,
for this
kid? It also, you have to look at. You have to look at what's best for the team as well. Mm. So let me say this. If I'm a coach, if I'm looking at a player and a parent is really involved, mm-hmm. you have to try and figure out what's going to be the best for that player, not the parent, mm-hmm. because you're coaching the player. Mm-hmm. You're not coaching that parent. So if NIL is involved, you have to make sure that whatever you're putting forth on that table is not only going to be best for that player, but for the team as well. That parent is going to have to step to the side for a second if you can allow that parent to be to the side. But a lot of those parents are trying to drive these deals now, and that's going to be tough for coaches.
Do you think that's a kind of a larger distraction?
Oh, it's a huge distraction mm-hmm. because sometimes you know. Let's say I'm your pops.
Okay,
and I know what is good for you. It may not necessarily be good for you.
Yeah, right.
You look at the Trent Flowers situation. Mm-hmm. That was a good deal for him to be here, but his father or his parents wanted more. Mm-hmm. Now he's in a situation that he probably would have been better off in the situation he was in earlier rather than, you know, going overseas and playing. Mm-hmm. So you have to look at what's going to be best for that player. And unfortunately, you have some parents out there that are that have their own dreams, mm-hmm. and they're trying to live their dreams through their kids.
Absolutely.
As well. They're trying to make a buck off their kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But
sure.
at the same time, you have to look what's going to be in the best interest of a kid. One other thing that's I'm starting to worry a little bit about is the, you know, the academic portion of it. I don't hear anyone ever talking mm-hmm. about academics anymore. It's talking about how much money I'm going to make or what kind of financial situation this kid is going to be in. Whatever happened to academics? I don't believe that, you know, over a period of time, we may not be able to call these kids student athletes anymore mm-hmm. because you're strictly talking about athletes over yeah. the academic process.
Well, let me ask you this then. Coach Kelsey.
With Derwin Webb, Judge Derwin Webb. By the way,
No, absolutely. Look, we just assume people should know that. No. Let me ask you this, because Coach Kelsey, the way he seems like he's going to recruit, it feels like there's going to be more adults than kids a lot of times on the teams. So NIL,
that's the way college basketball is.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I wonder if somebody like the way you're talking about looking at it. Does that purify it a little bit when it's like, okay, hey, kid's coming in from James Madison. He's got a degree.
4 years.
He's looking for NIL, but he's going to grad here. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I wonder if that changes that. I guess puts a little more purity into it with and this fan base, we like that. Okay, we do. I mean, that's all there is to it. Like, we like having kids that it's like, okay, I feel like that kid wants to wear the Louisville jersey. I mean, with college basketball, you feel like that's kind of where it's going, and does that help a little bit when you talk about the academics and
well,
stuff?
Well, I would tell you this. It helps me. Especially,
sure.
Especially someone that
but
is high in academics.
But I think you represent Louisville fans. Yeah.
Right. It's someone that looks for academics and wants to see academics still involved in athletics.
Sure.
Especially at the collegiate level. That mm-hmm. makes sense, and it makes me feel better, and it makes my friends feel better as well.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, let's just be honest. Academics aside, people want kids coming in that will help the program. It makes it a little more palatable if they are there for academic reasons and they want to be at the university itself rather than just the bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does it make you feel better, older kids getting NIL versus younger?
Yes, absolutely. It does.
Yeah.
It does. And this is going to sound bad, and I'm going to sound like the oldest man in America when I say this.
To get off my lawn.
It's almost like these kids that are coming in older, getting these deals, it's almost as if they paid their dues, and they've earned whatever money they can get at that point. Now, these other kids that have high potential, My high school coach used to say potential is that foreign word for ain't done it yet.
Yeah.
So these older kids that have proven themselves, that they've gone through the process, they may have even graduated, mm-hmm. I feel like should have an opportunity to feel a little better about them getting some NIL money because of what they've done and proven in the past.
You have a profession that forces you to come up with solutions. Now, you know, there's always jokes. It's like, okay, do you want me to listen to your problems or do you want me to solve it? So I imagine your wheels spin on a daily basis with solutions, what kind of solutions would NCAA Judge Derwin Webb add to college sports, college athletics, to kind of alter or, you know, move sports into a better direction?
Gosh, that's a great question, and I very seldom get stumped with a question. That's a great question to ask. I'm really not sure. Honestly, you know, I've thought a little bit about where the landscape is going because I know that some of these colleges are not going to be able to compete with, you know, colleges that have higher bags, higher NIL money. I don't know if it would necessarily become like the class system. Like, for example, in high school, you have class 1, 2, 3, you know, ABC and stuff like that. I don't know if collegiate athletics will be able to get to that point, but I'm hard-pressed to believe the lower-level Division I schools are going to be able to compete against the Blue Bloods every year just simply because they are not going to be able to get those athletes. Now,
pure finances?
Pure finances. So I don't know if you'll have a upper college championship and a lower college championship based upon NIL money or the ability to pay these athletes. But I do think that over a period of time, people will see that there's going to be a discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots because the haves are going to keep, as I hate to say, they're going to keep having, and the have-nots will keep have-notting.
So when you're – okay, let me ask you this. How much – how do you consume – sports altogether, you know, like, are you able to separate what sitting down watching a game without bringing in NIL thoughts or without bringing in the politics of the sport and the conference realignment? You know, can you separate that and just watch pure sport?
I may be able to in a period of time. Right now I can't. It's tough because I know that a lot of the places that we've seen, they have those NIL components. You have all these transfers. I was talking to my high school coach recently. We talked about this one kid that had been to 5 different schools in 4 years or 5 years. So it's a new way of thinking about things. I'm not going to say I'm so old that I can't adjust, but right now I'm having a hard time adjusting to it. Not saying that I can't. It's just the way the landscape is changing. So my mindset is going to have to change as well because I don't believe that you can put the genie back in the bottle.
I agree.
So when you're watching sport and you try to watch just a little bit of sports, what do you enjoy seeing and what drives you crazy? Because it's like, you'll appreciate this, an angle shot and not using the backboard. Like, it's enough to make me sometimes turn off the television.
I said Coach Crum would have a fit if he saw something like that. I would tell you this. I love watching team basketball. I love watching a team that makes the extra pass. They understand the game.
Let me pause you really quick.
Go ahead.
The extra pass. Let me ask you in particular. You see a guy drive it underneath the basket. He looks like he has a wide open layup, and he kicks it out to the 3-point line. Does that bother you, or do you tolerate that? And keep in mind, people, this is a supreme, like, this is a 1%er athletically that ever walked the planet, like, in Derwin Webb. So do you say finish it, or do you like to, you know, just watch the pass up the great shot for the perfect shot?
I like seeing the great shot passed up for the even better shot.
Okay.
I like seeing that. I like seeing 5 players in tune with one another, offensively and defensively. I'm kind of a purist. I like seeing basketball play the way it's always been played. Now, the dribble drive and the one-on-one, that can be cool at times when the shot clock is running down, but I don't like that being the focal point of the game. I don't like seeing teams that just play to get fouled. So it's been a process for me finding those teams that I just really like watching to play.
But I think to that point, when you look at, I guess we forget, it's not really an interview. We're just talking with him.
I like picking his brain.
I do too. But I mean, just to kind of bring it into that part, when you look at the last couple Final Fours, I do think that style, and when we talked about adults earlier, even though it's not the sexy teams all year per se, you find them in the end. Purdue, UConn, you know, last year,
they either played through the post or they're
just a supreme passing team, and they're adults that have been there. I mean, that's what you're finding in the Final Four this year. Last year, those teams win.
Is there a particular coach you like watching?
I do like Hurley.
Yeah, he's good.
I do like watching Hurley coach.
He's good, man.
I guess I like Painter in the regular season. I'm not trying to throw any shade because obviously he's made to the Final Four this year.
Yeah.
His teams consistently do well during the regular season. I will say that. Mm-hmm. You know, coaches like that bring their five players, and it seems like he can get the most out of those five players every possession down the court, whether it's on offense or defense. You don't find too many lapses when you see those kind of teams. The assist to turnover ratio is very good. Mm-hmm. Teams that really work the ball, find the best shot at that time. I love watching that kind of basketball. Now, the other type.
What can you not tolerate that you see in sports?
I hate seeing unforced turnovers. I hate seeing players that only play for themselves. And it seems like it's just a one-on-one game every time. Oh, it's your turn.
Yeah.
My turn this time because you had your turn last time.
Yeah.
I hate seeing basketball teams that are not teams. They are five players, five individuals, and the coaches just seem to let them throw out the basketball and just let them play.
Mm-hmm.
I love team basketball, and that's why I was raised on. That's why I love to see.
Do you ever think that are you ever going to have to any itch to scratch as far as coaching young adults at all?
I don't know if you remember this. I used to coach a Christian Academy at Louisville. Associate head coach back in the day. I used to coach back then. So I do have the itch to coach, but I don't know if I have the time to coach. Mm-hmm. I am very committed to my job. I'm committed to trying to find opportunities to make people the best representations of themselves. Mm-hmm. I love going to schools. I love being with kids. I love doing things like that. I don't know if I would have the time to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to concentrate on making my courtroom the best court in America, not just in Jefferson County, and trying to be the best judge I can possibly be at this point.
Well, let me do this. Without giving details, you see the little memes that say, you know, don't tell people your plans, but I'm going to kind of try to violate that a bit with you. Like, what do you see, like, you know, you obviously want to make improvements to, you know, your courtroom. Like, what are your next 3 years look like to you? Like, ideally, just to, you know, in your general vision.
Well, I will tell you this. Thankfully, I don't have another election until 2030.
Okay.
So I can kind of, I'm not going to say I can coast because you can never coast in a position like this. You are always running, as someone used to always tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I am day to day. I love my job every day, and I'm not concerned about what's in the future. I know that tomorrow I'm going to wake up as the family court judge in Jefferson County for Division 10. And I'll be doing that for the next few years. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have a little side projects on the side. People know that I have a little podcast that I do.
Don't say little. Is that and you seem to really enjoy that.
I do enjoy it. So
take a second to kind of plug that. You've had great guests on. Like, you know, talk about that for a bit.
I'm going to get you and Steve on here at some point.
It'll be fun when
things slow down for you guys, at least. But I love my podcast. It's called Perspectives with Derwin Webb.
Mm-hmm.
We have a YouTube following. We have special guests on. We would just talk about different things. We don't necessarily talk about the law all the time, but I ask people different questions. As a judge, I can't give my opinion on certain things, but I can always ask questions to see what's going on. For example, next week we're going to have Deputy Chief Paul Humphrey on to talk about policing.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was in Memphis a couple weeks ago. I got pulled over by the police for no reason at all. I could give my opinion why I was pulled over, but I got pulled over for no reason
at all. Because Memphis.
Well, I was going through, you know Memphis.
Yeah.
I was going through one little segment. I was going the speed limit. going north, and the police officer was in a marked car facing south.
With the lights on into your face?
No. I'm going, like I said, going the speed limit, yeah. Northbound. He's seated or parked southbound. Half mile down the road, I see that car come behind me.
Yeah.
Half mile later, I get the lights put on. I'll pull over. I do the standard, put your hands in the steering wheel, and ask him very politely.
Ten and two.
Mm-hmm. Ask him very politely, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. He let me know that he could not see my drive. He could not see my license plate, which is kind of odd to me because if you're facing south and I'm driving north, why do you have to? Why do you even look at my license plate? But nonetheless, you know, we're going to talk about things like that. I've had Terry Lewis from Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis on there. Okay. I have people from NFL, the NBA. Yeah. We just talk about issues in America, overseas, or whatever. We just talk about topics that make people have a discussion. Yeah. And I like doing stuff.
Do you have a particular one, like I say, without sliding any other interviews, do you have a particular one that's just kind of like, yeah, I really, you know, felt that was productive? Like if you were recommending somebody, hey, go back and look at some of my old work, or just one.
I'll tell you one. Go back and listen to the interview with Coach Payne. That was an interesting interview because it gave us a little insight of what his brain was, and he got a chance to speak without having the regular media ask him the questions and him give an answer that was actually heartfelt rather than something I felt like was a little more rehearsed.
Yep. Okay, so what are we looking forward to in the season? Like, you know, like, so you, I know you say day to day, but, you know, you're still a sports fan too. Like, so what are you looking forward to, you know, around the corner?
Well, you know, I'm very interested in this hire. I think it was a huge hire for the university. I think it pumped a lot of life back into the fan base, and people seem to be energetic. I see a few more flags.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was coming down this morning, I saw a few more Louisville flags. It seemed like people are excited about what is going on right now across the board, whether it's football, obviously, which is coming up for spring practice, coming up pretty soon.
Absolutely.
People are excited about basketball right now. Dan seems to be having things going as well as far as baseball. So the university is, I'm not going to say it's back on the map because it never left, but more people are talking about it. More people are excited right now. It's trending. It's trending upward. And it's trending upward in a good way rather than you see the ESPN crawler and saying something happened and you're just trying to figure out what happened this time. But I feel good about being an alumnus of the university. I feel good about everything that's going on right now. It seems to be where things should be or should have been for a long time.
It's odd. Back to his story. You've told stories like that too about getting pulled over. That never happens to me.
Well, you're a perfect driver. No.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
We both need to stay out of Memphis. That's all it is.
I never have that issue.
My dad will take an alternate route to avoid Memphis. He's been doing that for 20 years. I don't know what's up with that.
But here's the crazy thing. My brother, because I was leaving his house going to see my aunt, my brother said, there's a certain part in this city, make sure you are going the speed limit.
Yeah, right.
That part in the city, that's where I got pulled over. And as soon as I saw him pull up behind me, I called my brother and said, this is about to happen. I need for you to stay on the telephone.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, listen. Get back to enjoying your vacation.
Man. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
We're not going to drag you into the slum radio that we're going to start doing the moment you get out of here. But listen, open door policy. Anytime you want to jump back in here, anytime you want to sports it up, you want to life it up, and especially on Fridays, you know, we usually don't have an agenda on Fridays, but enjoy having you in here anytime.
I appreciate it. Let me say this real quick. Like I said before, I have a hard job. But I will tell you this. If I don't go to a school, if I'm at the courthouse, if I'm in my office or my chambers just working on orders, I turn to your show.
Man,
you guys have a great show. I love listening to it. I know a lot of people talk about your show. So I appreciate not only you know, you have me on for today, but I appreciate what you two bring to the community every single day. So thank you for what you guys do.
Man, thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate that. That was fun. Yeah. That was a good segment. Judge Derwin Webb.
Yeah.
939 The Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy. so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Got to catch up on a couple of, I guess, housekeeping duties. First of all, let me remind everybody that temperature control is and always will be one of the most valuable resources one could have. If you agree with that sentiment, then DFH Company is most certainly the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222. Or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Make sure you look into the Mitsubishi Mini Split, like the one we use here at the 93.9 Studios, for that hard to heat, hard to cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222, or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Let me ask you this, Steve.
Yep, listen.
There was open spring football practice.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to take for you to get out of the high intensity basketball world and start to creep back into?
Oh, I've already been to three spring practices, man. Uh-huh. So no, I'm in. Listen, and I'll tell you what's helped me is how in my son is too.
Ah.
That helps, because like he's wanting to watch more spring ball. You know, he's like, man, we got to get to practice. He's knowing the players. You know, like he's sending me. He's in that, like, I got a text from the other day. He was like, Scott Clark to UCLA. He was a bum. Chill out, son. Yeah. Okay. First off, chill out. I'm like,
you have to earn that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to earn that, right.
I'm like, but hang on, you know, but he's in that personnel. So he's enjoyed going to practice. Mm-hmm. I've actually made it out to three or four already. We scooted there. So he's,
what is he picking up sports wise?
What do you mean? As far as like, because it's more
the level of intent. Yeah,
it's more fan for him.
Right? Sorry.
At least you're like,
is that you?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute, because I had something pop up right then too. The Rock is not endorsing Joe Biden again, so it's right. Happy WrestleMania week. I'm just saying.
Is that news?
That was what popped up. That was literally what popped up on my thing. That's why I was like, does that. Did I hit something?
When's he going to run?
Who, The Rock?
Yeah.
I don't know. Going to run?
But it's happening, though, right?
It feels like it might. He's positioning.
If it wouldn't, it would have happened already.
Nah, he's still got some meat.
No, The Rock, he's still got time.
Yeah.
He's just now. Justin in his 50s, is he? Or he's right in his 50s?
Yeah.
How old is The Rock?
Yeah. I was going to say, I think he's upper 40s. Let's see.
He might be getting there, though.
The Rock.
Like, it's probably the next race.
He's 51.
51. If he don't run in
he'd
the
win
next
right now.
Election.
He would win right now.
I don't know
right
if
now.
He'd win, but he would be up there.
The Rock would win right now if he snuck
think
in.
So? Yeah. I mean,
if he was a surprise candidate that just got announced tomorrow.
Would he do better than Kanye did?
Would he do better than Kanye? Did you ask if he would do better than Kanye?
Yeah, because Kanye, like, ran, like...
I didn't know if you was that a serious question.
Like, Kanye couldn't get on the ballot.
Yeah, I was like, did you? Ask
how many?
Well, this is the last celeb.
How many signatures do you need to even get on a ballot, a presidential ballot?
I don't know. 600,000. That's a good question. How many?
I don't think it would be tough for him to get.
Who, The Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 No, oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Presidential.
While he's looking that up, though, to answer your question, I mean, he is... He's getting caught in, like, the size.
Okay.
Like he is...
That's what I was asking.
Like, seeing Ashton Gelati, he was like, man, see him up close like that, you know? And it's like, his dad's got a couple connections, so I'll give him a little closer, you know what I'm saying? So he's like, man, these guys, you know? And then you see the receivers, and, like, you see a guy like Kadarius Hicks, mm-hmm. who apparently mossed. I wasn't there last night, but apparently he mossed somebody, some kind of nasty. But, you know, you say, oh, man, it's Kadarius Hicks, little bit slot receiver from Miami Central. And, like, you see him. And I remember he was like, dude, who's that, Penny Boone? This was, like, one of our first practices. I was like, no, that's Kadarius Hicks. Like, oh, my God. It's like, yeah. Yeah, like
up close muscles.
He's,
and
he's
see.
Big dude. Yeah, like he's not a little tiny, you know, fragile. It's like, but he is mm-hmm. out here. You know, when you see him, because then when you do see a guy like Penny Boone or Donald Chaney up close, it's like, oh my gosh.
Who have you been most impressed with physically?
Most impressed mm-hmm. with physically outside of the like Ashton has beefed up. You're like, okay, he looks good. Like, you know, and Ashton looks like he can play interior, man. Like, God bless.
He's probably just loading up. Just
I know.
Yeah, just playing, trying to play.
I really like how Ja'Cory Brooks looks at the receiver position. He's been a little banged up, but I mean, he looks like an NFL player. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, man, that's some. Of course, I just mentioned them, the running backs. There is a clear difference in Penny Boone and Don Chaney.
Size wise,
mm-hmm. just I mean,
or is it maturity?
Like, it's both, yeah. But it's size too. I mean, like they're not Michael Dyer, but they're swole.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, Michael Dyer looked like he had, you know.
How big did Michael Dyer
anchor look? Arms.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, my gosh, dude. Yeah, he was insane. I remember we got him. I was like, we might win the championship. Like, this is the guy. And he was good here. He was really
right,
good here.
Right, yeah. Right. He kind of gets a bad rap.
It wasn't like he just wasn't.
He looked the part so much
yeah.
that he was never going to get a fair judgment.
But I'm like you. I mean, I look at big guys. I listen to stuff. I really like Taufik Thomas. Taufik Thomas, he was somebody, one of the players, they were running red zone drills. Mm. But there was 11 on 11. It was live. Mm. And, like, somebody from the offense got hit, and he went down hard, and it looked like he was hurt. And, like, Taufik Thomas just right in front of the whole crowd, you know, with expletives.
Yeah.
I won't use those, but he was just basically like, man, get up. Just shut up. Get up, like right in front of the crowd. The dude, and I can't remember which, it might have been Jaden Thompson, was somebody, and they were laying there, and it was like, oh, you know, and he's like, man, shut up, get up, or get out of here. And it's right. Like,
this is savagery.
I like that, yeah. Though. I like that. That's what I said. I mean, I said it last year, is I mean this in, with compassion mm-hmm. to the person who's hurt,
yeah.
But I mean, it. I knew we might have had something when there was a person laying there hurt pretty bad on the field.
You can't, yeah.
And one of my players was like, hey, man, you got to let that go.
Yeah.
Look, he knew what he signed up for.
Yep.
We're playing football, you know. But it was like, okay. And he kind of brought that attitude to practice, man. I mean, you know, there were little kids standing there. But, but you know, I could also say, don't bring your kids to practice, I guess. I don't know. But yeah,
your parents know what they signed up
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, all right. You know, look, you don't jump into the lion cage and then be like, wow, can't believe it.
Nikki,
attacked me.
Go ahead. First,
oh, yeah.
Let me get the signatures.
So, out. The best I can tell is it varies by the state, I think. And it, like, ranges anywhere from, okay, for example, you have to have 56,000 signatures to be the Republican
nominee
yes. If you live in Florida.
56,000 signatures to be a nominee
for the Republican Party.
For the Republican Party
in Florida.
In the state of Florida.
Okay.
Democrat, it doesn't say. It's not listed. Huh. I lobbed that up for Steve.
That feels shady.
I lobbed that up for Steve. California, 28,000 to be a Democrat.
How much?
52,863 for a Republican.
What about independent?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
So you can find both numbers in California. but you can't find both numbers in Florida. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what it says here.
So it's
here.
Like in the heavy Republican states, you can't find the other number, but where... But you can find both numbers.
This is just a
just
run.
Food for thought.
This
just
is just to
I'm
run.
Not putting anything in your head. I'm just saying it's food for thought.
I do. I knew I was lobbing that up.
Just
for
think
Steve.
About it.
This just says qualified parties in Wisconsin. So maybe a third ballot.
Yeah, probably like party. A third.
8,000. 8,000. 1,000 signatures from each congressional district.
That's awesome. It's just like, I mean, you basically go to a...
This is pretty attainable.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you go to a Mount Washington, light up Mount Washington event, you get 8,000 signatures.
Like, hey, everybody.
I'm trying to run for president. Everybody just signed this. Yeah.
So which one of us is running for president?
Pass.
Yeah, no, I have no interest in that. I just like to talk about political parties. I don't want to be involved.
Yeah. Go ahead and play us out.
Somebody was like, would you ever consider running for mayor one day? I'm like, no, that's insanity for me.
What's the highest level
me?
Of like office you would run for?
The highest level of office is to be the father of the NFL Players Association president.
That's how about that?
What a great answer.
Yep, peace. The first dad.
You knocked that question out of the park.
The first man.
Yeah, no. I'm done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah, say I'm good. We're done. I'm happy. I just like to be the king of my household. Like that, yeah, that's my highest honor, man.
I want to go to Kroger and get whatever I'm having for dinner and be able to have it in peace.
I want to go to Disney. I want to live my life. That's all I want to do.
Just be a citizen.
Hey, HBL, back in the portal. Chat about that in a minute.
Is she back in the portal, Steve? I don't believe you.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it.
Somebody has to confirm this because Steve just says things sometimes. Roll along, 939 DeVille.